You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, June 3rd, 2025. And still ahead in this hour, we're going to talk to Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association about June Dairy Month events. We'll also talk to Sheila about legislation that's being considered in Madison, or should be considered by some, and talking about the, what do they call them, wedding barns, basically these barns that have become social venues, and how they got the short end of the stick, shall we say, in a rewrite of liquor laws governing Wisconsin establishments, bars and restaurants, distilleries, brewers, distributors, things like that. And so we'll talk to Sheila a bit about that coming up this hour. In our next hour, we'll talk to Civic Media political editor Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation area about stories in Wisconsin politics. And I'll have much more to say in just a couple of moments here about Congressman Derek Van Orden and his ongoing addiction to social media and the dangers that it holds for his own constituents. But first, it is time to take care of things in the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. It's done statewide across the network four times a day. You could win $100 cash. You could win a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. Each entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes. That would be a Wisconsin Dells area vacation at the Ringling House Bed and Breakfast in Baraboo or the Door County White Lace Inn with a little gas money to get you there. Now, each time we do this, four times a day, there's a different keyword that you'll need to text to us through the Civic Media app before the end of the hour. So if you don't have the Civic Media app, fix that. You got to do that. Go get it at Apple, Google, wherever. Then get that app installed. Go to one of the stations on the app. You can look up all the stations. Go to any one of them. And then use the text button to send us the keyword. Here's the keyword for this hour, and the prize is $100. $100 cash if you text us the word WAVE, W-A-V-E, WAVE, for $100. Text that before the end of the hour. You'll be in the running for a drawing among this hour's statewide entrants for $100, but you'll also be in the running for one of those grand prizes as well. Complete rules and details over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, right there on the homepage. Click through it to learn more. And again, you'll have more chances to play today, 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. Text them in, spell them correctly. Again, this hour, it's WAVE, W-A-V-E, for $100, and you can be part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is off this morning, tells us a cold front is dragging across the state today, and it's bringing showers and storms that may turn strong to severe later today. And then once this all passes, comfortable and warm conditions will follow. Our state forecast goes like this: cloudy skies, showers and thunderstorms, though folks in southeast Wisconsin may not see this until this evening. Across northwestern Wisconsin, temperatures will be falling today into the mid-50s. And down in the southeastern part of the state, temps could hit the upper 80s and a southwest wind at 15 to 25 miles an hour. That wind will shift to the northwest as the front moves through and the rain makes its way out of the state. Lows tonight in the low 50s. Additionally, a big chunk of western Wisconsin is under an air quality alert for all that Canadian wildfire smoke, but do not be surprised if that area expands, because while the front is bringing rain, it's also dragging the smoke along with it as well. So, again, you'll want to take good care if you have any respiratory issues or just want to stay out of it, because it's just so thick and soupy and yucky and just not a great time for outdoor activity. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning. It's partly cloudy and 70. I did my Wittenberg mowing jobs yesterday, then today to beat the thunderstorms this afternoon. We really do need a good soaking rain, he says. Yesterday, I also mowed the yard of the country school where my dad and his siblings went to school. After my Wittenberg jobs, I tried to get some lawns mowed this morning before the rain comes. And we were talking earlier about testing tornado sirens, and he says Tigerton tests their tornado sirens at 11:15 every Wednesday. So again, Rob, thanks as always for the notes. You can send your notes as well. We were talking about June Dairy Month breakfasts. Alicia writes in on YouTube, yay, Dairy Month. I get to go to another breakfast on the farm this Sunday, this time in Outagamie County. And there are just so many great dairy breakfasts. And again, we're going to learn much more about them from Hans and Sheila coming up in just a little bit. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. Love having this partnership every weekday morning from 6 to 9. But at Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier Newsroom, you can also get our newsletters. We now have three of them. We have a weekday daily newsletter. We have a Sunday morning politics newsletter that I put together. And as Christina Laurie told us in just the last hour, her monthly sports letter is now moving to a weekly sports newsletter about some of the good stories and the good people that help make up our Wisconsin sports from all the teams, college, pro, and otherwise. So you can sign up for any of those three newsletters, hopefully all of them. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. In today's newsletter from Christina, it starts with a little note about a pledge drive, because at Up North News, we do that. We do a pledge drive every quarter or so and show our appreciation for all the folks who chip in a couple of bucks. You know, our newsletter does not have a subscription. It doesn't have a paywall. Our website will never have a paywall, but we always need a little bit of help to cover the news that we do and appreciate your support. The newsletter also includes stories about where to get some of the best brats in Wisconsin and some of the best bike trails in Wisconsin. And there's a letter to the editor in today's newsletter. It goes like this. John Skaug lives in Osseo and is a retired scientist, avid gardener, and outdoorsman who is passionate about the transition to a clean energy economy, so his grandchildren's quality of life will be better than his. And so let me read a little bit from that editorial. He says, as a teenager in the early 1970s, I recall listening to evening news broadcasts that featured smog reports and stories about nearby lakes and streams, which pollution had rendered unfit for wildlife and for humans. Responding to the urgency at that time, members of Congress from both sides of the aisle passed the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act, created the Environmental Protection Agency, and began 50 years of progress. These laws and the regulations that came with them required the cleanup of industrial processes, reduced auto emissions, and more energy efficiency. Our natural resources, our environment today is better because of it. President Trump, he goes on to say, has never supported policies related to environmental stewardship, let alone climate change. His actions since taking office were expected, but not at the speed and scale that we are seeing. And again, you can get that full letter to the editor in today's newsletter, or head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Okay, I have asked this question on the program before, and I'm going to keep asking this question. I'm going to keep asking this question until we get a satisfactory answer. Does anyone else have control over Congressman Derek Van Orden's social media passwords besides him? It's not that he's insulting me in the comment section, though I couldn't help but notice he did it yesterday when we called him out again for gaslighting his constituents about the current budget bill. That's no big deal to me. But the notion that a member of Congress can spend so much time online just hurling insults and criticizing his constituents or worse indicates to me he either doesn't have much to do or he just doesn't want to do any actual work. Besides taking issue with something I said yesterday was especially noteworthy for the latest of his many attempts at doxing or at least facilitating the effort to have someone harassed or fired merely for criticizing their congressman. The latest case dealt with his comeback to a comment on one of his pages. That's just something he likes to do. He likes to get into the comment section and lash out at folks. Recently, a woman from Stevens Point put a... Let me try that again. Recently, a woman from Stevens Point put a sarcastic comment under one of his posts. Which, by the way, Congressman, that comes with the territory. Put on your big boy pants and absorb a few hits in the comment section. But no, Van Orden had to go in and respond with a screenshot of her current employment, and then went and made a new post of his own, including her employment picture, saying, quote, "Another reason to be very suspicious of university professors. The vast majority of academia are left-wing activists that are indoctrinating our children, not educating them. This appears to be one of them." Something to note here. If you click on this woman's Facebook page where she made the comment, there is no employment listed. So, assuming she didn't change that recently, it means Congressman Van Orden had to take the time to look up a constituent of his. Online stalking, basically, for a man in his position, so that he could name and shame her for taking the time to put up a critical comment to one of his posts on social media. That's a congressman doing these things. So, I went back again this morning. I haven't done this for a while, but I counted yet again to get a sense of the volume of his Twitter addiction. In the past 24 hours, Derek Van Orden has posted 45 times at all times of day. Our congressman has an addiction issue. Oh, wait, there's more. Overnight, Congressman Van Orden retweeted a conservative commentator's post alleging that some U.S. senators had financial ties to a shell company that got military contracts tied to the war in Ukraine. That original information that he was quoting was from a satire account. It had already been fact-checked as such a month ago. And Van Orden is still reposting false information with a little affirmation attached. That was just one of the 45 posts he made since 9 a.m. yesterday. That's our congressman in action. Or maybe congressman in action, two words, rather than three. Let's check some sports at 7:18. Roger and Steven's point mentioned yesterday in the comment section, you know, the things you should use a comment section for. What a great job Christian Yelich had been doing in that he should be the National League Player of the Week. Roger was right. Christian Yelich was named National League Player of the Week yesterday. I was concerned he would not be in the lineup because he got hit in the hand with a pitch while at bat on Sunday, but Yelich was in the lineup. And in the third inning, he hit his fourth home run in six games, and the Milwaukee Brewers extended their winning streak to eight games, beating the Cincinnati Reds 3-2 on Monday night. It's the Brewers' longest winning streak now since running off nine straight in August of 2023. Aaron Civale picked up his first win of the season pitching for the Brewers. The next game of the series is this evening, and it will again start with a pregame at 5:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. And then game three tomorrow is a matinee affair, pregame starting at 11:05 tomorrow morning. And then the Brewers are off Thursday before coming home for a long homestand, starting with a weekend series against the San Diego Padres. Still ahead, we'll be talking to Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart about June Dairy Month activities. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. And one more reminder that our text to win word, keyword this hour, is WAVE, W-A-V-E, for $100. Text it in.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We'll get more into this later, but one of the things I wanted to mention was that it's summer rerun season, and so some of us are looking for new shows to watch over the summer. And on the plane ride over the weekend, I gave two shows on Netflix a try. And so I've only seen one episode of each, but I am very much looking forward to watching more of The Residence, which I know people have mentioned it on this show a couple of times, saying, Pat, you got to watch The Residence. You got to watch it. I finally watched it, or at least the first episode. And yeah, I'm in. It's a goofball kind of murder mystery in the White House residence where the family lives upstairs. So I don't know a lot about it other than that, you know, a guy died and this kooky detective is out there, you know, and she's funny and she's quirky and the supporting cast is very interesting. And then the other is the Four Seasons, which I always associate with the Alan Alda movie from 1981, only to come find out that, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Tina Fey has freshened it up, you know, for all these many years later, 40 plus years later, talking about three couples and 30 years of friendship. And there's definitely drama to go along with the comedy. So those are the two that I'm going to try to watch a little bit more of here, along with that new Stanley Tucci one of Stanley Tucci in Italy that we're finding on Hulu. I asked Mr. Olson over the commercial break, you know, what new shows he's watching, and he comes up with some of the best from, what, 2007, was it?
Something like that, yeah. Hey, it still hits.
Parker's new show is The Newsroom.
Yeah.
The Aaron Sorkin HBO series from, now we can officially say back in the day, because it's like 20 years old, but that's your new thing.
It's my new thing.
I like it.
I like it a lot. It's really good. I think it was really interesting to watch. As like someone who wants to go into news, it was kind of like, oh, high pace, cool stuff. This is how some stuff happens. Not that it's a documentary, but.
Well, in some ways, I mean, again, Aaron Sorkin, brilliant writer, but again, isn't like The West Wing, first four seasons, maybe first three seasons were masterpieces, trailed off a little after that. The Newsroom, season one, tour de force. Season two, much less so season three, don't bother, you know, but yeah, good for you for, you know, grabbing something like that. That'd be like me grabbing the Ed Sullivan Show and going, hey, what is this thing? I'm going to watch this for a little while. So we will be looking forward to Newsroom updates as well from
all right,
Mr. Parker, as we move through things here. All right. One of the headlines today, I'm just going to read the New York Times headline. First off, here's the headline, top story. After muscling their budget bill through the House, some Republicans have regrets. The subhead says, the sprawling legislation carrying President Trump's domestic agenda squeaked through the House with one vote to spare, but, and here's the kicker, some Republicans now say they didn't realize what they voted for. It turns out, the Times article says, the sprawling legislation to advance tax and spending cuts and to cement much of President Trump's domestic agenda included a raft of provisions that drew little notice or debate on the House floor. And now Republicans who rallied behind the bill are claiming buyer's remorse about measures they swear they did not know were included. Last week, Congressman Mike Flood of Nebraska admitted during a town hall meeting in his district he did not know the bill would limit judges' power to hold people in contempt for violating court orders. In other words, a special favor for Donald Trump, who has been ignoring court orders. Flood says he would not have voted for the measure if he had realized. And Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia said she'd been unaware that the mega bill has a provision that would block states from regulating artificial intelligence for a decade. On social media, she says, quote, full transparency, I did not know about this section. And she says she would have voted no in capital letters if I'd known it was in there. Here's how you know these things are in here. Read the bill. Read the bill before you vote on it. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that Democrats are perfect in this, as Tony puts gasp up on YouTube. I'm just saying it's rich that this is coming from the party that, when the Affordable Care Act passed, made fun of somebody who said, well, we have to pass the bill to see what's in it. It wasn't correct to say that at the time, and it's not true now. The problem is things are so polarized. I'm not going to get into the specifics of the bill. We've done that plenty, and we'll do it more later. You know, Elon Musk calling it an abomination because of its increase of the deficits. Some Republicans want to see more spending, even more spending cuts, Ron Johnson. Others say, cutting Medicaid might not be such a great idea, kids. Huh? So they're going to fight about this. But I just want to speak briefly about the whole notion of must-pass bills. That we're cramming everything into one bill because it's the one bill that's got to pass. And so then you strong arm people and you go, you got to vote for this. It's the only thing. The way it used to work, and I know it sounds naive and like student council or something, but you'd take all these individual ideas, you'd put them in a bill, you'd argue the bill on its merits, and you'd have an up or down vote on every one of them. But to do that, you have to actually be dedicated to the job and be at it full time. Right now, we have a part-time Congress. They fly in on Tuesday. They fly home on Thursday. They don't get to know each other. They just do what party bosses and donors tell them to do. They didn't want to go into it that way, but that's the way the work day is set up now compared to the olden days, I guess, when members of Congress stayed in D.C. rather for a big chunk of the year full time because that was their job. They got to know each other. They got to know the issues. They made compromises and they passed bills and they got things done. And they don't know how to do that anymore. So they pack everything into one big bill that they don't read and things still don't necessarily get done. We're going to visit with Dan Schaefer next. Thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings, powered by Up North News. We'll have more from Chippewa Falls after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Here's a reminder of this hour's keyword in the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. The word is road, R-O-A-D. Text the word road through the Civic Media app and you're in the running for Brewers tickets. Club level seats, they are great seats. I've used these. You're going to want these tickets. But you're also in the drawing as well for the grand prizes, a lovely stay in Wisconsin Dells or in Door County. Details at Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us. That again, you have till the end of the hour to text road, and then you'll have more chances to win at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. All right, we got a lot of ground to cover here with Congressman Mark Pocan, so let's just get right into that. Congressman, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Pat. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to have a lot to say about the Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle in just a sec here, but you did recently visit the Dodge County Jail, and I wanted to start by asking about that because President Trump has once again chosen to impose some kind of a travel ban, which seemed very serious in the first term. In the second term, it almost seems more like a diversion from all of the heist that's going on in Washington, D.C. But a lot of people are getting caught up in this anti-immigrant fervor, including undocumented immigrants who, you know, may or may not have committed any crimes. But we don't know because they're not getting due process. One of them was actually framed by somebody else who committed a crime. And yet he, the victim, is still in the Dodge County Jail. And what was that visit like for what is also an ICE detention facility?
Sure. Well, and you're right. The best way to be a pickpocket is to divert someone's attention. So Donald Trump, while they're picking our pockets to pay for a tax break for Elon Musk and himself and anyone who could afford to go to Mar-a-Lago, we're floating things like, travel bans, et cetera. You know, the reason we went, and it's the only ICE facility in Wisconsin, it's at the Dodge County Jail to check it out, is because one, it's part of what we need to do for our oversight responsibility as a member of Congress, but also in New Jersey, they actually are charging a member of Congress who went and did that with some criminal laws. So, you know, I think in solidarity, many of us were like saying, all right, ICE is just a rogue extra governmental organization right now because they don't talk to us. And you know, we tried to reach out to them. We took the number off the website for the Milwaukee office. It's disconnected. So, we can't even get a hold of someone there. We did do a tour. The county sheriff a Republican, a partisan Republican, but was very fair. I mean, he gave us a good tour. You know, I think he didn't love that we were there, but at the same time, he was exactly what he should do. You know, he gave us a very polite, respectful tour. We saw conditions, I think, are you know, what we've seen in all the reports, they're really good conditions, and I think they run a good facility. The real problem was no one from ICE is there, but every 3 weeks they show up, other than to drop people off. And there's really no way to ask the questions we needed to ask about who's there, why they're there, what the due process rights, et cetera, are. And one of the people is a constituent of Gwen Moore's who, you know, he was framed, but at the time they didn't know. Supposedly he did a letter threatening the President Trump. But, you know, very quickly that story went south because the person's illiterate, both in English and Spanish. And this was a very well-written, very beautiful handwriting letter. Well, it turns out someone was trying to frame them to try to kick them out of the country. And they're still holding the person despite that. In fact, they supposed to have a hearing yesterday and Gwen told me they postponed it. So she's going back Friday to talk to her constituent. But, you know, it's not so much the facility that, as you might expect in Wisconsin, we do things a little better probably than other places. But it's certainly ICE, you know, the fact that then the sheriff gave me his contact number for ICE afterwards, and I called, and I've yet to get a call back, and that was Monday, today's Thursday, just shows you how they think they are above the law as an agency.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're really veering into secret police territory, police state territory, where people can be held behind bars without charges, and that nobody is accountable for this. And again, all of it to distract from the big bloated boondoggle that House Republicans passed recently, and it's over in the Senate right now. And now we're hearing from some of your Republican colleagues, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia being one of them, saying they didn't know what was in the bill before they voted for it. And I, you know, the title of this hour's episode, by the way, is Why Can't Marjorie Read? These are folks who loved playing this game when things like the Affordable Care Act was passing or any other big bills. But it turns out they're no different. When they want to ram something through, they'll apologize later for things that they didn't know were in it, but they voted for anyway.
Yeah, and every MAGA Twitter troll that has sent a message telling me I did the exact same thing with the Affordable Care Act, I wasn't in Congress then. So, you know, just...
There's that.
You can keep it coming, but I know reading is difficult, so we won't go there. No, this is the problem. You know, all the committees did this overnight votes. The Rules Committee met overnight. We voted. Some people are up for a day and a half nonstop doing the bill, and literally at the crack of dawn is when we voted on the bill. After an all-night session, if you saw members, we looked even worse than we do normally, you know, to see how tired people were. And now they're saying, oh, we didn't know what's in the bill. Well, no, you know, of course you didn't know what's in the bill. And another member from Nebraska said he didn't know about this court's provision was in the bill. And, you know, now we're finding out a lot of people are trying to step away from aspects of the bill. Well, I don't blame them. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff in that bill. If I was Derek Van Orden or Brian Stile or others in Wisconsin, and I voted for $500 billion cut to Medicare. I voted to kick off 14 million people in the country from their health care, 11 million kids and others from food assistance. I'd be as ashamed as you could imagine as well. And then they won't do a town hall to talk about it. Look, the Wisconsin smell test, the most simple thing in the world. If you're proud of something, you brag about it. You don't hide in your basement and hope no one calls. And that's exactly what every Republican in Wisconsin is doing right now.
Well, without a doubt, and as people read it, even the world's richest man looks at this and calls it an abomination and looks at the amount that's being cut. Now, I grant you, Elon Musk and Ron Johnson and others, they're unhappy with it only because it would be better balanced if they would cut even more. Okay. Yeah. But at least they're making the point that way too much of this is going on the national credit card. Again, for people who lived to talk about how much is going on the national credit card, it seems like they feel the taxpayer can afford anything as long as it's something they want on the national credit card. In this case, tax cuts for the rich.
And now this, they're trying to present a big lie to people that no one's going to lose benefits and that this won't add to the debt. We had Russ Vogt, the director of the OMB, the architect of Project 2025 in my subcommittee yesterday. And he tried to say that again, like he did on the Sunday news shows. And I said, well, the Cato Institute, a Republican leaning group, disagrees with you. Elon Musk disagrees with you. Senator Hawley disagrees with you. Senator Collins disagrees with you. Senator Rand, disagrees with you. Who else? There are a whole bunch of the Congressional Budget Office, a nonpartisan agency. The directors appointed by Republicans disagree with you. I go, are you the only one that's right? And he's like, yep, So, you know, they're just trying to put this lie out. A few people like Derek Van Orden probably fundamentally believe it. But, it takes reading a little bit, and you can very quickly see if you cut funds, that kind of drastic cut, $700 billion from Medicaid, $300 billion from the Affordable Care Act, half a trillion from Medicare, people are going to lose care. And it's just common sense. And, you know, unfortunately, the Republicans are just trying to ignore that they took this vote, and this is going to hang on them well into next year.
And by the way, all the focus has been, much of the focus has been on Medicaid and to a lesser degree SNAP and other things. But Medicare is involved in this as well, indirectly, but still, if folks who are seniors going, well, I'm on Medicare, I haven't heard them talk about that, so I guess I'm okay. You might not be.
No, because of the PAYGO rules, and I won't go deep into the weeds, it triggers sequestration, which is taking back of funds, and it will require a half a trillion dollar cut to Medicare. They could have took care of it in their overnight sessions, but they just didn't want to pause for anything. They just wanted to get this done so that Donald Trump had it by Memorial Day. The problem is every Republican in Wisconsin in the House voted to cut a half a trillion dollars from Medicare, and they didn't try to fix it along the way. So I would love to know who they think in Wisconsin doesn't deserve the money they've paid in all their life through their paychecks and their employers have paid in for Medicare, and now it's going to be cut. That is an unconscionable vote.
When we hear the talk about the deficits and the national debt and things like this, and I'm not looking that this will all be solved by you and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and things like that. But when you look at the graph of how much of that debt is there because of tax giveaways to the rich, It does make people like me feel like, well, what if we just took one of those basic wealth tax ideas that we often hear from the progressive side of the aisle? And how much of these debt and deficit problems could we address if we actually right-sized our tax code once again?
When you look at the skew these bills offer for the wealthiest, I think one analysis I saw, about 40%, the bottom 40% of people are going to pay more under this bill. People in the top 0.1% do really, really well. Top 1% really well. Top 10% do well. But, you know, pretty soon real people don't get it. And then they said, well, we did a tax on, they got rid of the tax on tips and on overtime and on auto loan interest and a tax cut for seniors. Well, those four that are for, I call real people, add up to 5% of the bill. So 95% of the bill is pork going to Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And, the rest of us get a little bit. And even then, scratch the surface, and that gold is fake that Donald Trump is putting on everything in the White House. Because, for example, the tax on tips, a third of people who are tipped wage earners don't even make enough to pay federal income taxes. And of low and moderate waged workers, tip workers are only 5% of them. So you're ignoring the vast, vast majority of working folks. And then when it comes to overtime, there's a bunch of categories where you can't qualify. You're still going to have to pay your FICA. It's only on the overtime amount, not your regular pay amount. You still got to pay tax. And there's a whole bunch of asterisks that, won't even fit on a sheet of paper. So a lot of these, and they're also temporary. Unlike the corporate tax cuts or the tax cuts for the wealthy are permanent, tax cuts for us are only going to last for a few years. So, this bill is the worst bill I have seen in over 30 years of being in Congress. And I can't wait to talk about it everywhere I can.
You've been in the Congress. You've been in the legislature. We talked in the last segment about the Republicans in the legislature walking away from the negotiating table with Governor Evers, and Republicans in Congress trying to ram this through in one bill because otherwise they have to follow regular order, which could subject it to the filibuster and everything else. And yet Elon Musk and some others are now saying, kill the bill. But that would mean probably going through regular order. And I know I hesitate to ask anybody to make predictions, but your thoughts anyway on whether this bill does find some way to get modified, sent through the Senate and approved again by the House, or are we actually facing the prospect of, like the previous couple of years, we get to October 1st and there's still no federal budget?
That's a somewhat of a separate issue from this, but yes to that question. I'm on our probes and we don't even have all the numbers, and they're asking us to start marking things up, which is ridiculous. I think the Senate originally only had 2% of the cuts of the House. So there's a big difference between the two bills. Look, I wake up to bad choices and worse choices every single day. I'm all for bad choices. To me, a bad choice is stop the cuts to healthcare and food assistance and education funding from people. I think they're going to get their tax cut bill no matter what. There's unity on that. How they pay for it might just go on the national debt like the last time, which is not a good answer. But I don't want to hurt people right now. One out of three kids in Wisconsin who gets their health insurance from Medicaid, 55% of our seniors in nursing homes. I mean, those aren't the people that should have to pay for Elon Musk to be able to put more rockets into the air.
Well, like I've said, if it ends up just all going on the national credit card, they're just going to try to once again divert people in next year's election campaigns with all kinds of other mudslinging and try to get people to forget all about their pockets being picked. Congressman Mark Pocan, as always, we appreciate the update. Thanks for what you're doing. We'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Take care. Safe travels to you. Let's pause here, and then we'll have more coming up all across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for being part of our mornings, powered by Up North News, here on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It's 7:35. You can get our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. Today in our daily newsletter from Christina Lurie, the many ways Wisconsin has been a trailblazer in the equality movement as part of Pride Month for the LGBTQ community. And in our weekend newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, our question of the week deals with the state budget. And folks who were in the Capitol last week making the case to Governor Tony Evers that if the state budget bill sent to him by Republicans doesn't meet a certain threshold of support for things like public education and natural resources and health care, that instead of trying to fix it with partial vetoes, he should just veto the whole thing and make the legislature start over. What's your point of view? Should the governor do that to make a statement? Should he just continue to use partial vetoes? Maybe you think whatever the Republican legislators will send to him will be the best thing and that he should just sign the bill without any partial vetoes. Anyway, that's in our weekly newsletter, and you can sign up for that as well. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner there. Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network a little bit later on the Todd Alba Show today, coming up at 2:30, State Senator Kelda Royce will be joining Todd. She's a member of the Joint Finance Committee. At 3 o'clock, Todd is joined by Tom Kircher, reporter with Wisconsin Watch. On the Maggie Dawn Show, starting at 4 o'clock, Matt Rothschild will be the guest co-host, and they will have Senator LaTanya Johnson, the other Democratic member of the Joint Finance Committee, the ranking member for the Senate there, coming on. Again, it looks to be in the 4 o'clock hour, coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network. We want to talk now a bit about what's happening in high school sports. And we'll get into some other areas as well, but especially this whole notion of NIL deals, name, image, license deals. And for that, we bring in Civic Media's own sports director, Jimmy Koska. Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Great to be here. I always love being on a show called Up North, because that's home for me. From the Chippewa Valley, born and raised. So I always appreciate coming on this program specifically.
Well, we love having you up north. So thank you very much for doing that. Let's see. Ahead of name, image, license, let's just talk about high school sports overall in Wisconsin. It is June 2nd. Where are we in terms of spring sports? Are they wrapping up? Have they wrapped up?
We are into really the tail end of the season. The high school sports season has 3 weeks to go in the spring. So this week, I think the crown jewel of spring sports, in my opinion, is much like in winter, how it's individual wrestling in terms of just the sheer number of schools represented. State track is this week. So many schools can get individuals or relays into the state track event at UW La Crosse, which is a wonderful, wonderful venue for any sporting event, but particularly state track, where they've hosted this for a number of years. And you get to go and you get to see over 200 school communities represented in this event. To me, it's one of those uniquely cool things about high school sports in Wisconsin. I really enjoy covering these events. We still have softball. We still have baseball. We have soccer. There's golf. There's tennis. There's still a lot of other state events going on. But state track is so awesome to just be able to see all the schools. You know, baseball and softball, all these other events, they've got great facilities and great events too. So regardless, the next 3 weeks are going to be pretty fun for high school sports in Wisconsin.
It's rather infectious to hear you talk about it. It's just the all the participation. And again, it's a wide net. It's not like just a handful of powerhouse teams. You know, there's something for everybody in there.
Exactly. You know, and even a community like the one I live in, you know, small towns are getting, you know, I think just here in the town I live in, I think we have 6 athletes going, you know, but so many towns, maybe it's just one. You have one person who's doing really well in the high jump or something, and they go to state. You could still get an entire community rally around just a handful of student athletes. And I just think that's a really cool feature to, whether it's wrestling, whether it's track, or any individual sport that gets to go to state. It is a really, really neat experience to see, you know, a whole town, you know, come out for maybe just a handful of kids. It's awesome.
That's great. And let's see, Tony mentions up on YouTube here, he says track meets are fun. He also says back in 1902, Pat won the 125 weight class in wrestling. Everyone forgets about that. 1902 probably was the last time I weighed 125 pounds, now that I think about it here. Jimmy, let's turn then to the policies that surround high school sports and these NIL deals, name, image, licensing, which is that just a fancy way of saying endorsement deals?
So in Wisconsin, name, image, and likeness was part of a package of 4 policies that were put in the WIAA Constitution for this year. I think it's the one getting the most attention because of how it's affected college sports, right? In college, it has really turned things on its head to the point where, even in the last couple of weeks, we've seen lawsuits and legislation and all kinds of things come out about name, image, likeness, equality between and inequality, really, between the power programs and the other programs. There's a lot of things happening in college sports as a result of name, image, likeness that I think for a lot of people, especially people who are a little more traditionalist in the sense of amateur athletics, are not too happy about where things have gone and how it's really upended conference alignments and things like that. But here's the good news for those of you who are following high school sports and wondering, is name, image, likeness going to affect high school sports the same way it has college? And the short answer is no. And I'm saying that because, first of all, Wisconsin was one of the last states to even get NIL. I think there's only maybe 7 or 8 states left that don't have it. And the fact that we got it done through our state association and our school membership, that's a big win for us, because in places where this hasn't gone in yet, it's been left up to state legislatures, and having politics at that level involved in high school athletics can really be a negative, because then there's no control over the school memberships and state associations to deal with the issues that they have in front of them. In high school NIL, things are much more restrictive than they are in college NIL. So you're not going to see the average student athlete in high school, you know, getting a car dealership endorsement and rolling around in a, you know, $80,000 car or anything like that. You're just not going to see that happen at large. You know, maybe it happens for a couple of kids, which is great for them, but it's not happening for every kid in the state. There's a lot of guardrails to how it's done in Wisconsin, Pat, and I think that is one of the reasons why it passed this time after failing a year ago.
What would a typical NIL deal look like? Not necessarily for the star of the football team, but, you know, maybe there's somebody else. Are they essentially just now doing endorsements for a local sporting goods store or something like that?
One of the reasons why in Wisconsin I don't see this affecting nearly as much as, you know, as it has in college, is that the guardrails the WIAA membership put in place are going to really restrict who can do this. So there's 2 different big restrictions on this, in addition to not being able to represent, you know, your school, your conference, the WIAA, in any kind of NIL deal. So you can't just put on your jersey and go say, hey, I'm the quarterback for XYZ high school. You can't do that. But there are 2 really big restrictions on where the money comes from. And one of those restrictions is on the who can do that. And that is that if you're a coach, if you're a staff member, if you're a parent of another student athlete in a school, you know, it sounds really obvious, but you're not allowed to contribute to NIL deals. If you're a coach or a former coach of a student athlete or a program in that school, you can't act as an agent. High school student athletes can't sign agents and find deals that way. But the other one, and I think this is the big one, is that if you're a business organization, you're an employee at these places that has contributed to maybe a school's booster fund, you've donated to a school program before, anything like that, any kind of contribution. And you know, Pat, in small towns, how businesses show up to support their student athletes in their communities, you know how they support those things. Those businesses, organizations, and the employees of those places, they are not allowed to contribute to NIL deals. So it really restricts the pool of potential name, image, and likeness endorsements. It's really limited to people that have never contributed to a school program before. And again, when you're talking about a lot of places in Wisconsin, whether it's a college town, whether it's a small farm town, pretty much every business has had a hand in something, whether it's donating $100 to put up a scoreboard or, you know, support the annual fundraiser for each team.
But with all those restrictions, I feel like I have to come back to my root question, which is, so what would an NIL deal look like if all the usual suspects can't be part of it? If you can't wear your team's uniform or in any other way, I mean, now you're left with the high school, you know, volleyball player just in jeans and a t-shirt doing a deal for somebody that's never done a deal with their local high school teams before. Does that almost sound too restrictive? Like, what kind of an NIL deal do you even get out of something like that?
There's a couple of things. One is that you can use it to promote maybe an event you're part of in town. Like if there's a local event or something, as long as you're not promoting something that's without listing 50 things, mm-hmm. adult oriented. So you can't be endorsing like alcohol, right? As a high school sure. student athlete, things like that, you know, events like that, you put your name on something that doesn't, you know, touch any of those areas, that's probably fine. You know, there's a whole list of rules and regulations for a big FAQ on it. The other one is, I think the big one is that there's going to be, it's going to sound like a big word, but NIL collective. So these are going to be groups of you know, and the WIAA has an official one for this, where they do go out and find certain deals for student athletes to endorse, mm-hmm. And help build their brand and marketing. So there are going to be pools of organizations and businesses that will get to do this. And then obviously the businesses that aren't already supporting high school athletics or high school programs in general, like, those would be ones too. An NIL deal would, I think it would look like a normal endorsement deal. I mean, I there's only been, I think, two reported contracts so far, and one of them was literally just endorsing certain events held in their town. So I think that's where it's going to probably look like. It's not going to look like these big mega deals where a student athlete on a college roster is worth, you know, $4.6 million in endorsements or whatever. It's just not going to be that way for high school kids, because there's a lot more high school student athletes and there's a lot more communities, and there's not quite that big well of financial support to draw from.
Well, I'm looking at this New York Times headline from last week. Can this 14-year-old football star become a high school millionaire? And the story begins, Brittany Coleman's son, Caden, had just turned 10 when youth football coaches started pressing envelopes with thousands of dollars into her hand. They wanted Caden to play for their club team in Maryland or New Jersey or other states, and she always refused because those payments aren't allowed. But now, because of new NIL deals, students as young as middle school could go on. This is, though, so the exception rather than what NIL deals are going to look like, you're saying.
Yeah, and it's going to really affect a very small handful of high school student athletes in Wisconsin. And we've seen it because, like I said, Wisconsin's one of the last states to get NIL. It's that way in a lot of the other states. There are very few states where it's wide open NIL. I think it's like two or three. And even those, after they started, they were kind of the first ones in it. Even after they started, they really started restricting it, much like Wisconsin has. Wisconsin's isn't even the most restrictive, according to the people who are putting together the policy discussions. It is pretty restrictive, but you're just not going to see that. And to that point, if you're, you know, it's specifically banned that if you're trying to recruit a student athlete or keep them at a school, whether you're moving or keeping them, if you're recruiting a student athlete, that's banned. And by banned, it just means that student athlete risks becoming ineligible if they do accept those kind of deals for that reason.
Tell you, Tell you what, though, you mentioned the one word in all of that that scares me, and that's the legislature. If the legislature now, if they know they could have this to start with, Lord only knows how they could interfere one way or another and make things even worse here. Jimmy Koska is with us, and we'll talk about that Brewers' 7-game win streak, sweeping the Phils in Philadelphia. It's break up the Brewers. That's it. I mean, World Series inevitable, right? Okay, no, they got the rest of the season to play. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.